Welcome to the ECO Epicenter, the Armenian Biodiversity Education and Information Center. It is a part of the Department of Conservation of Genetic Resources of the Flora of Armenia of the Institute of Botany after Armen Tahtajan. The center is located in a unique glasshouse-like building constructed in 1979. Its shape reminds a sombrero hat or an unidentified flying object, so-called flying saucer. The ECO Epicenter was established in 2021 in collaboration between the Institute of Botany, the German Agency for International Cooperation, GIZ, and the Armenian branch of the Worldwide Fund for Nature. The content and design of the exhibition was developed by the staff of the Institute of Botany and GIZ through its environment program. The center performs educational, environmental, and research functions. It consists of an interactive exhibition part and a living collection of plants. The living collections have been created and preserved over the past 30 years by the efforts of the staff of the Institute of Botany, who together with their colleagues from other scientific, educational and conservation organizations took an active part in the concept developing and creation of the exhibits. You are in the interactive exhibition hall. Approach the models of the houses where the plants in human life part begins. Plants play a very important role in human life. The uses of plants and plant materials are numerous and varied. These models show some examples of the use of plants as building materials from around the world. The first model on the left shows the shelter of the Korowai tribe. Living in the jungles of the western part of the island of Papua New Guinea, representatives of the indigenous Korowai tribe built houses based on tree branches and long wooden poles. These shelters are located at a height of up to 50 meters. The base of the house is built from branches of various trees, which are fastened with rattan palm ties. By the way, rattan stems are used in the production of wicker furniture, souvenirs and other products. The floor and walls of the houses are covered with the bark of a sago palm tree and the roof with its own leaves. Women wear clothes made from the same palm's fiber. Sago, a starchy mass obtained from the trunk, forms the main part of the locals' diet. The next exhibit represents an example from Africa. These unusual houses are built by the Dors tribe living in southern Ethiopia. Their base of the house is woven from the stems of African lowland reed or bamboo, then covered with false banana leaves. African lowland bamboo is common in the savannas of the central and eastern regions of the African continent. The so-called false or Ethiopian banana is a member of the banana family, widespread in the tropical rainforests of southern and southwestern Africa. This large herbaceous plant is grown in Ethiopia not for its fruits, but for its false stem and leaves, which are the main source of food, building material, and even used in fiber production. By the way, the models presented here are covered with real leaves of a different banana species. The next type of house made of plant materials is izba. This house type, which is most common in Russia, but in general, this kind of wooden house is characteristic of the culture of the Eastern Slavs. The walls of such log houses are built mainly from pine, less often from spruce. The trunk of these tree species is straight and smooth, and the wood is durable, and due to the high content of resin in it, it is also very resistant to decay. Look at the next model, representing Peru. Here is another example of the most amazing houses in the world. In Lake Titicaca, which is the largest lake in South America and located at an altitude of 3,812 meters above sea level, there are floating islands inhabited by representatives of the Uros tribe. These islets, as well as the houses on them, are built entirely of one plant called Totora by the locals, a subspecies of the giant bulrush sedge. It is widely distributed in the coastal areas of the lake and reaches up to 6 meters in height. From this plant, local residents build not only houses but also boats, make souvenirs, and brew it like tea. The bottom layer of these islands gradually rots, so several times a year repairs are carried out. A new layer of dry plant spreads over the surface of the island. The next exhibit features stilt houses, which are common throughout Southeast Asia and especially in Thailand. These traditional huts are built on stilts. as they often are constructed in rice fields and in areas subject to regular flooding. In this case, one of the main building materials is bamboo. The roof of the house is covered with kogan grass, which by the way is also found in Armenia. Teak wood is very beautiful, durable and waterproof and is also used to build traditional stilt houses in this part of the world. And here is the last model representing Japan. Traditional houses in Japan are called minka and are built almost entirely from plant-based building materials. Notably, the walls of such a house are often made of traditional washi paper attached to a wooden frame. There are no walls inside the house, and the space, if necessary, is divided by the sliding partitions made the same way as the walls. Washi paper, used for building purposes, is made from the bark of a relative of the mulberry tree, the paper mulberry, which the Japanese call kozo. Japanese culture is also known for its centuries-old horticultural traditions, some elements of which are reflected in the presented exhibit. In a small pond you can see koi fish, which by the way live in our center, in one of the sections of the living plant collection. Now turn around and go to the opposite wall. At the top you will see a map showing the world centers of origin of cultivated plants. Some of the most known crops associated with one or another center are shown in circles. The crop wild relatives are still found in the wild, and the areas marked on the map are especially rich in them. These areas coincide not only with the world centers of wealth and diversity of flora, but also with centers of ancient civilizations. The area from which about a third of the cultivated plants originated includes tropical India, Indochina, South China, and Southeast Asia. The territory, which includes most of central and western China, Korea, Japan, Taiwan, gave rise to approximately 20% of all cultivated plants. Another area known for its richness in wild relatives of cultivated plants includes Asia Minor, Iran, Afghanistan, Central Asia and northwestern India. It almost completely covers the Armenian highlands. This area is also known as one of the oldest centers of agriculture and plant domestication. About 15% of cultivated plants originated from here. Wheat, lentils, chickpeas, pears and many other wild plants were domesticated here and contributed to the development of many sorts and their distribution around the globe. A huge contribution to the study of this topic was made by the world-famous scientist Nikolai Vavilov. In 1934, Vavilov visited Armenia and in particular the wild wheat habitat near the village of Mushavan, formerly Shorakhpur, from which he wrote the following. Without any doubt, this is the most interesting place in the whole world. I happen to study many countries that are considered to be ancient agricultural centers. However, I repeat, it is difficult to find a richer, more interesting area than this. In this and subsequent years, Vavilov persistently recommends to allocate a plot of 50 to 100 hectares here to provide special care for it so that this document of world significance is preserved. The words of the great scientists were heard. Founded in 1981, the Erebuni State Reserve is today the only special protected natural area in the world created specifically for the conservation of wild cereals. In front of you are the herbarium samples of some wild crop relatives found on the territory of Armenia. These are wild pear, rose hips, lentils and chickpeas, as well as three wheat species found in Armenia, Ararat, Urartu and Boeotian wheat. The red dot marks the species included in the Red Data Book of Armenia, the asterisk globally threatened species. The theme of plants in human life continues in the exhibits placed on the cupboard of the window. Here you can see household items, souvenirs from different countries made entirely from plants, as well as samples from some plant fibers, fabrics made from them. In the central part of the exhibition hall, there is a three-dimensional model of the territory of the Republic of Armenia. It marks specially protected natural areas of the country, natural reserves, national parks, and some remarkable state sanctuaries. Here are some interesting facts about Armenia and its biodiversity. Armenia is a mountainous country, and more than half of its territory is located above 1,800 meters above sea level. According to official data, forests occupy 11% of the territory of the republic. There are about 100 lakes and ponds in Armenia. Sevan is the largest lake not only in Armenia but also in the region. The total area of the lake is 1,416 square kilometers and the maximum depth is 82 meters. Sevan is fed by 28 rivers, but only one Hrazdan River flows out of the lake. The Republic of Armenia is located in one of the global biodiversity hotspots. The flora of the country is extremely rich and diverse. There are 3,800 species of vascular plants in its flora. About 144 of them are endemic to Armenia, that is, they are not found anywhere else. The fauna of Armenia includes 70,749 species, of which 495 are endemic to the Republic. The avifauna of Armenia is extremely rich. 357 bird species have been recorded here. Now pay attention to the large colorful panel located on the adjacent wall. This image represents a generalized picture of the vegetation cover of Armenia in accordance with altitudinal zonation. This is a unique concept shown in an original way based on professional knowledge accumulated over decades. The mountainous countries are rich in biodiversity, which is largely due to the diversity of natural conditions, which change gradually with altitude, forming a vertical zonation. The lower and upper curves of this image were formed as follows. Straight lines were drawn across the width of the map of Armenia, and for each, the lowest and highest points of the Earth's surface were taken. As a result of combining the lowest points, the lower curve was obtained, and the highest, respectively, the upper one. In the area between the two curves, a surface was formed on which it became possible to show the landscape diversity of Armenia, both vertically and horizontally, in the direction from north to south. The background coloration shows a gradual change from the lower, drier semi-desert zone to the upper, more humid and cooler alpine zone. On the smaller panel on the left, you may find the images of various trees, shrubs, and herbaceous plants characteristic of various habitats, which were used on the diagram as symbols. These are widespread plants characteristic to different habitat types and playing a forming role in them. The big panel is interactive. On it, you can place and move magnets, images of rare plant species, as well as common and rare animal species found in Armenia. This concludes our acquaintance with the exhibits of this half of the hall. Approach the stand with rotating cubes located in the central part of the second half of the hall. It represents the diversity of ecosystem services. Ecosystem services are those functions of ecological systems or natural processes that directly or indirectly contribute to human survival and well-being. In other words, these are the benefits that people receive from nature. Now pay attention to the interactive display with boxes called Feel and Guess. There are holes in the front sides of the boxes. Stick your hand into it, feel the object that is inside and try to guess what it is. Each box has five bottoms, with the following answers written on them in this order. Mushroom, lichen, moss, coral, chalk. When you press the correct button, the box will open and you will be able to see both the object itself and the photograph of this creation of nature. To the right of the boxes are samples of sandy, clay, chalky soils, which are some of the soil types found in Armenia, as well as samples of silt, a fine-grained soft sediment that forms at the bottom of reservoirs, seas, lakes and rivers, and humus, the main organic component of the soil. Let's continue. The red panel is about the red data book. The Red Data Book is an official document created to register rare and endangered species of plants, animals, and other living organisms that exist on the territory of a particular country, state, or region. In addition to the local Red Books, there is the International Union for Conservation of Nature Red List of Threatened Species, which includes species that are globally threatened by reduction in range, abundance, or extinction. The first Red Data Book of Armenia, which included species of animals and plants, was published in 1990. It was republished in 2010. This panel shows the number of species listed in the Red Data Book of Armenia from different taxonomic groups of living organisms. To the right, there is a stand telling about snakes. Of the 23 species of snakes common in Armenia, 4 species belonging to the viper family are considered venomous. The Levantine viper, the Armenian viper, the Meadow steppe viper, and Darevsky's viper. It is important to know that snakes never attack people intentionally, but rather avoid people. They bite only in self-defense when people inadvertently step on a snake or simply come too close to it. This is where we finish our acquaintance with the interactive exhibition and move on to the living collections of plants. Approach them through the door to your right. The vast majority of plants in the living collection are local species represented in model biotopes, miniature models of the main habitats of Armenia. In addition to these, we also have a small collection of ornamental exotic plants, as well as a small collection of crop wild relatives. It is located here on your right. Explanatory panels are placed next to each model biotope. On them you can see photographs of the main vegetation types of Armenia and some of the most remarkable plant species represented in the biotopes. On the left side of the first section, mainly exotic ornamental plants and garden forms are found. Variegated maple, weeping birch obtained as a result of grafting, horizontal cotoneaster, a bush with small red fruits, rounded small leaves. Elements of the arid dry forests of Armenia are presented on the right. The first one you see is tamarisk, also called a salt cedar. It is a tall shrub with smoky green tender branches. The tree with rounded leaves and inflorescences that look like small clouds is the European smoke tree. To the left of it, you may see the silverberry and the wild pear. In the middle of this biotope, right by the path, a small pistachio tree grows. At the very end of the plot, you see a small bush with small oblong leaves. This is a wild cherry. Let's continue to the next section. Steppe plants are shown on the left. Steppe vegetation in Armenia occupies large areas, mainly at altitudes from 1200 to 1800 meters above sea level. The steppes of Armenia are distinguished by the diversity of plant communities and the richness of flora. In the central part of this biotope, you can see a herbaceous plant with opposite oval leaves and thin stems curved parallel to the ground. It is Polygonatum, from the lily of the Velle family. The Latin name of the genus comes from the ancient Greek for many knees, referring to the shape of its rhizome. The genus Polygonatum includes about 50 species, of which 6 are found in the flora of Armenia. 3 of them are edible and the young shoots are used salted. The common name of this plant is Solomon's seal because its roots bear depressions remaining from the last year's stems. According to a legend, the wise King Solomon marked it with a personal seal because he considered it an extremely useful plant. According to another legend, Solomon designed his royal seal in the likeness of the roots depressions. In the corner of the biotope, near to the crossroads, you can also see 2 mugwort species found side by side. On the right, meadow vegetation is represented. In Armenia, meadows mainly occupy areas above 1800 meters above sea level. In contrast to the steppe meadow vegetation, it is formed in the conditions of sufficient or high humidity and is characterized by a denser vegetation and salt formation. Flower-rich meadows are more characteristic of the northern regions of Armenia. In the center of the meadow biotope, you may see a rosehip, which has yellow flowers. This is a hemispherical rose and a shrub representing Tigran's elder, a species described in 1936 by botanist Nikolai Troitsky and named after Tigran Musheghian, rector of State University of Yerevan at that time. The second biotope on the left represents the semi-desert plant species of Armenia. The central place in it is occupied by ephedra, popularly referred to as mountain resin. Ephedra is a medicinal plant and contains the alkaloid ephedrine, named after it, which is similar in its action to adrenaline. In Armenia, the semi-desert zone extends from 400 to 1200 meters above sea level. It is especially well represented in the Ararat Valley and its foothills. The flowering period of semi-desert plants is very short but bright and unusually beautiful. To many people, semi-desert landscapes seem like dry, sun-scorched areas where nothing but thorns grows. But experts know how rich and interesting the semi-desert flora is. It is full of rare and endemic species, many of which have rough texture and thorns, the adaptation mechanisms for survival in arid habitat conditions. Please turn to the last, fourth biotope in this section. In the foothills of the Ararat Valley, among vast agricultural and recreational lands, some very small fragments of sandy desert vegetation have survived. One of these sites is a specially protected natural area, a state sanctuary, Gorovansens, located near the city of Vedi. In front of you is a small biotope representing the vegetation of the Gorovansens. The number of plant species in the ecosystem like this is small, but many of them, as well as the ecosystem itself, are threatened. We continue to get acquainted with the flora of Armenia. The next most extensive section is dedicated to vegetation of wetlands and rocky habitats. Both are widespread in Armenia and are found in all altitudinal zones. Along the near edge of the pool in front of you grows an aquatic plant called muskrat root or sway. Its healing properties were known to medieval Armenian doctors Mkhitar Heratsi and Amir Dovlat Amasyatsi. This plant contains essential oils, glucosides, tannins, starch, resin, ascorbic acid. In the past, Armenian clerks used calamus to make incense. From the pool, you are greeted by koi fish, small figures of which you saw in the model of a Japanese house. On the surface of the water lie the leaves of a white water lily, which blooms in the summer month. This wonderful plant is listed in the Red Data Book of Armenia and is found only in some lakes in the north of the country. By the pool, you can see different species of mountain ash. Evergreen trees found in this section are oriental and elongated junipers. Junipers are widespread in Armenia and form juniper sparse woodland. In the far left corner of this section, you may see display of alpine flora, the alpine corner. The Alpine Corner was created thanks to the financial support of the Alpine Garden Society and presents beautiful herbaceous plants or small shrubs of the Armenian flora, which are found both in the Alpine Belt and on rocks, crees, and rocky slopes of lower altitudes. These plants, in order to survive, flourish, and reproduce, need daily special care from specialists. Now let's move on to the forest section. The forests of Armenia are predominantly deciduous and mainly formed by oak, beech, ash, maple, linden, various wild fruit trees and shrubs. Evergreen tree species like pine and yew form small groves or occur as single trees in a deciduous forest. On the left side, right by the path, you may see a large shrub with pinnatisect leaves. It is a European bladder nut, found only in the north of the country and listed in the Red Data Book of Armenia. In neighboring Georgia, in addition to this species, Caucasian bladder nut is found. The pickled inflorescences of which, called jonjoli, are widely used by locals. At the back of this area, look for a tree with a smooth gray trunk. It's a beech. Beech forests are usually dark and comparatively humid. They are found mainly in the northeastern regions of the Republic. Now turn on the right. Here you will easily recognize birch by its white trunk. There are three birch species in the flora of Armenia, which are mainly found in the north. Take a few steps forward, and on the right, next to the door, you will see a large tree with silver green leaves that looks like a willow. This is the Euphrates poplar. In Armenia, it is found in the south along the Araxes River. Look how the leaves on the same tree vary in size and shape. In front of the poplar, on the other side of the front door, a herbaceous plant with very large leaves grows. It's the butterbur. Its leaves begin to develop in May, after the flowering of the plant. Now return to the center of the section and approach the second plot on the left. Right in front of you, in the corner, you will see a small tree with very narrow and long leaves. This is a wild pear. The dark green evergreen tree growing behind is a relic yew listed in the Red Data Book of Armenia. Small yew groves are found in the north on the territory of the Dilijan National Park, in the south in the Shikahok State Reserve. Behind the yew you can see a tall tree with round shiny leaves. This is also a wild pear, but a different species, the Caucasian pear. By the way, our country is very rich in wild fruit trees. In the flora of Armenia, there are 32 species of pears, of which 12 are endemic to the country. 18 pear species new to science have been described from Armenia. Now let's turn to the trees behind you. In the corner next to the explanatory panel, you will see a tall tree with a straight trunk. This is a hazel or beer nut, a close relative of cultivated hazel. In Armenia, only a small growth of this locally threatened species is known from the north. Behind this tree, you will see a hazelnut bush, which is common to the forest of Armenia. Now, let's leave the forest section and go to the central part of the eco-epicenter, which hosts a collection of ornamental, predominantly exotic plants. Your attention will immediately be attracted by a group of massive lianas that have been planted here over 30 years ago. These are wisteria, originated from China, North American campsis, Japanese honeysuckle, and a few other species. On the right, you will see a tall tree, Ginkgo biloba, often referred to as living relic. Species of this genus were widespread on Earth in the Mesozoic era. However, only this species has survived to this day. In the wild, it is found only in China. Ginkgo is common in botanical gardens around the world. The tree is widely used in landscape design, and ginkgo extract is known as an ingredient in various cosmetics. Goldfish welcomes you from the small pool. The liana with white pubescent leaves stretching over the pool is the well-known kiwi. Walk past the pool a few steps forward and turn left. On the right side, you find a huge grass known as Ravenna grass, which is native to Southern Europe, Western Asia, and Southern Asia. It is a local species and listed in the Red Data Book of Armenia. Look at several yucca plants growing to your left. They are evergreen with dark green, stiff, straight leaves. Yucca is native to North America. The plant is used in many ways. It is best known for being a source of durable fiber, hence the name of the species. Pay attention to the fibers sticking out along the edges of the leaves. You may climb up the spiral staircase in the central part of this section, into the lianas. However, please keep the following rules. Adults can climb in groups of two or three, and children are only allowed to climb with their parents. Our tour has come to an end. Through the door you can access the yard and from there walk through the interactive exhibition hall to the exit. By subscribing to our Facebook page, you will be able to receive information about the work of the center, including workshops and other events. Thank you for your visit. We hope that this tour has given you the opportunity to discover something new, get aesthetic pleasure and at least a little escape from the routine. The doors of the Eco Epicenters are always open. Welcome back again.